Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
Yes, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Mike, Pete, across the way, Bogus, your updates to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go here on this Thursday morning. We're going to chat with Corey Chavis coming your way in about 20-plus minutes from now. CBS Sports college football analyst, founder of DraftNasty.com. Before that, what do you need to know here on this Thursday? Here we go, the three.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
The latest surrounding Colin Kaepernick's Saturday's workout.
So Colin Kaepernick is going to be working out Saturday down at the Falcons practice facility, in Atlanta, just outside of Atlanta. And there's, speculation in terms of, just how legitimate this is. Is it a PR stunt, isn't it? You heard that from Eric Reed, the Panthers safety, former Niner, took a knee with Kaepernick when they were both members of the San Francisco 49ers a handful of years ago, Taz. There's been some where, I guess Kaepernick's camp at one point in time thought that they were going to be known to them in terms of what teams were going to be at the workout or the pro day, however way you want to look at it or describe it. Now the NFL is saying they never told Kaepernick's camp that, and that's not going to be released. We know reportedly there's about 7, 8, 9 teams that are going to be down there as of now. We're 48 hours out. There's people calling into question why it wasn't held on a Tuesday when most workouts are held in the National Football League at different practice facilities all across this great country. Why is it on a Saturday? There's college football going on. It's not easy to get to. Game day on Sunday. So there's a lot that goes into this. Is it a PR stunt where the NFL is trying to save face? I wouldn't say that's completely out of the realm of conversation.
Right. Yep.
I think that's part of the equation. I think the NFL is maybe trying to right a wrong. Okay, is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but no one can argue that it's not an opportunity. It is an opportunity for Kaepernick to show his wares and where he is physically for the teams that decide to show up and watch him work out.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. And we talked a lot about this earlier in the show here. And anytime you're out there on a field in any way, shape, or form, or in front of a camera, on a microphone, you're auditioning. You are auditioning. And no matter if you're the starter of a team or not, you're always auditioning. And that's the truth. Anybody who's a performer of any level knows that. You have to look at things that way. So this is a true, a true tryout. It's a pro day. The whole Saturday thing, to me, it's not a big deal. I mean, I understand, look, you're not going to get any head coaches that come watch the day before their NFL game that watch Kaepernick, in Atlanta, but you don't need it. You have your GM there. You have scouts there from you that work under contract to your team, with all video and iPhones. Head coaches can see, and they trust their GMs. They trust their scouts. How do you look? How is this? How's his release point? How's his foot speed? How do he look physically? How is his body fat? How was he lean? Did he look fast? Did he look slow? All of that you're going to get from a pro day. What you're not going to get is how's he look when there's a linebacker coming A-gap on him full speed and he's under pressure. What you're not going to get is, how's he fitting the ball between a safety and a corner that's converging on a slant on a receiver. You're not going to get those type things in a pro day. How quick is his release when there's pressure on him, his decision-making, and all that. But the Saturday thing doesn't bother me. I mean, really, it's like, and these GMs get on a plane and jump on a private plane and at the NFL game the next day anyway. What's the big deal?
Right, and I don't disagree with you. And I think we're starting to nitpick here. It's any way you cut it, it was never going to be perfect. Even if it was on a Tuesday and the list was not provided, we'll see if Kaepernick ends up with a job. We discussed a lot earlier. Check out the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast has. You're more of the belief that Kaepernick will get a job out of this. I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
I am. No, I know, and I'm surprised you're saying that. I really thought for sure you'd be thinking the same thing. I don't know why. I just thought you did. You know, it's interesting, though. I mean, maybe a tough question for you to answer because you're not too sure he's going to get a gig. But who do you think would be the right fit for him? Who do you think pulls the trigger on him? I mean, would it be a Seahawks to have a guy behind, you know, behind Russell Wilson? You know what I mean? Would it be the Panthers? You know, once, you know, we know, you know, the kid Allen's there, and, you know, it looks like, what's his name, Cam Newton's going to move on and all that kind of jazz. Would it be them? You know, or would it be the Bears? Maybe Newton doesn't go to the Bears. Maybe they see Kaepernick, and maybe it's the Bears.
Yeah, maybe it's the Bears. I'll tell you, though, Taz, if I am Carolina and I believe Kyle Allen is the guy, I'm not bringing Kaepernick aboard.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not bringing somebody in that then is going to put undue or unnecessary pressure on my starting quarterback, aside from the pressure to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think for them, they would do a disservice to Kyle Allen. They might cause a regression in his play, because then it comes down to, Taz, if he has a bad game, why didn't Kaepernick play?
Well, you of know, course, but I do see what you're saying.
If I believe in Kyle Allen. Now, if you mean to tell me Carolina likes Kyle Allen now, but they don't believe he's their quarterback of the future, then that's a different scenario. But if I'm part of that Carolina brain trust and I say Kyle Allen's going to be our guy, I've seen enough, he can make all the throws, we love him, he's going to be our guy, I don't know if I'm Carolina, I bring him in. I don't know if there's a perfect landing spot for him around the NFL.
Yeah,
to answer your question.
Yeah, I mean, what we said, it's something like 10 teams, I believe, going to
as of right now.
I don't know, man. I think if Kaepernick goes on Saturday in Atlanta and he is throwing the ball great and he's got a ton of zip on the ball and his foot speed looks on point, he's going to be in good shape. Just his body type alone, he's a tall, lean built guy. I remember seeing him play when he played at Nevada years ago and he was in college, and I was like, this guy's unbelievable. He looks the same physically. Like, his body hasn't, like, when you watched him in the NFL from college, like, he hasn't, like, he's just, you know, something. He's got just good genetics, you know, like he's a young athlete still. And, you know, if he's on point and he's moving great and his foot speed's there and his ball release is there and all that stuff, I'm telling you, man, it also, he's a draw. People, you're going to sell more tickets with this guy there. I don't care if he's a starter or not. Just him on your roster, it's politically, it feels right, you know? I mean, I'm just saying, like, these are big companies. These teams are all big corporations, you know? So, I don't know. He's going to end up somewhere, man.
In Miami Dolphins, if you're looking for a bridge guy before they start their young quarterback, I don't think Rosen's there, obviously, you know, for the duration down there in South Beach. You look at Tennessee, you got Tannehill at quarterback. They obviously have turned the page on Marcus Mariota. He could be an option. The Cincinnati Bengals, as they start, you know, Finley at quarterback now, a rookie, and as their starter Andy Dalton was sent to the bench, that could be an option. The Denver Broncos, who will be there on Saturday, I think present an option as well. Joe Flacco, that scenario before he went down to injury has been an absolute disaster. You know, the Chiefs, Raiders, and Chargers, I just don't see it. The Bears are looking for a quarterback. Atlanta's not. Tampa reportedly is not. Carolina, I don't think, is. New Orleans obviously is not. San Francisco, Seattle, the Rams, and Arizona, none of those teams are looking for a quarterback. You know, those, you know, at first glance, those are, you know, the three or four teams I would say that would be most intrigued in bringing Colin Kaepernick aboard.
Yeah, you mentioned the Dolphins. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mentioned only as a bridge guy.
Yeah, no, here's why.
And they're going to be in attendance on Saturday watching the workout.
Well, if you remember this, Stephen Ross, the owner, right? He hosted a fundraiser for President Trump. And quit the NFL Social Justice Committee.
Yep.
So then the whole Kenny Stills thing and openly critical of Ross and was traded to Houston. So I don't know, man. That might be a little bit.
I understand that, but with all of that history, Taz, they might try and undo a lot of wrong.
Good point. Yeah.
I mean, that's true. That's a possibility
as well.
That's
a good point.
I mean, maybe they've seen
Olive Branch Jones, as
correct.
We call it.
I mean, that could be a possibility as well. So there you go. I'm not saying it's likely that he's going down to Miami because of all that, but I mentioned a team in terms of looking for maybe a bridge quarterback. All right, next.
Number 2.
Report NFL, NFLPA make progress on new CBA that could include 17-game season.
Correct. So
a lot of info.
So they're making some progression here. What's the concession that the owners are going to give the players? It'd be a bigger cut of the pie. 17 games. We don't know if it will be a bye or a double bye. Minimizing, limiting the preseason games, obviously by one. How much further in the month of February? There's obviously a lot of things that need to be worked out. But if you want more relevant football, it seems like we're inching our way toward more relevant football.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. I mean, and, you know, we talked a lot about it earlier. I mean, a good conversation. People called the show about it, you know, about this topic. I think people want more NFL football. I don't think the XFL, I mean, look, I hope they do well, but we know this. They're not going to bring strong, top elite level football. It's just that they're not going to have the talent. Same thing we saw with the AAF. Complete, you know, poop city Jones. It just didn't work. You know, so I think if you had another week here, I think people are going to love it. If you could figure it out to keep the players healthy, give them that rest, like two bye weeks, like we're saying, you know, all that kind of stuff, I think maybe it could happen. I don't remember who threw it out here, if it was you or when Andrew was in here or caller, but the whole London Jones, the whole doing the thing across the pond.
Yeah, I mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you feel that.
Well, that's not going away. I don't know if they go it to where they have a game every week over in London. I don't know if they go that avenue, Taz, but you're going to get more and more of it. They love London. Yeah. They love the financial impact on the league.
Listen,
and the exposure and generating more fans across the pond.
I have to say this. Okay, it's very important for my own personal brand. I have a lot of fans for a lot of years from the U.K. I've been to the U.K. a lot in my career. It's a great place. All different parts of the U.K. I've been. I'm not knocking. I know you didn't say this, but I have to. This is just my commentary. I am not knocking the United Kingdom, London, none of that. Manchester, none of that. Sheffield. I love it all there. I like my NFL football America. Mm. American football, red meat Jones. That's me. That's how I like it.
I got you.
Has nothing to do. I have no heat, no heat at all with the UK. I just want you to know that.
I got you. I didn't think you did. I just didn't think you like games across the way.
Sometimes people can say things that people like me and people take me out of context.
You made it perfectly clear.
Thank you, Moose.
All right, next.
Number three.
Verlander and DeGrom win Cy Young Awards.
They do. Verlander got 17 of the 30. DeGrom, 29 of the 30. More decisive victory for Jacob DeGrom. And Big Jake for the Mets wins his second consecutive Cy Young. And here he is, MLB Network, after the honor.
This game will humble you quick. And, last year I didn't seem to really have any. It was kind of smooth sailing all year. But this year, to kind of recover from that little rough patch and figure out a way to get it done.
Well, there you have it. He did about a 3 or 4 start stretch in which he really struggled. And people would say, what the hell's going on here? Then he settled down, got better and better and more dominant as the game went along. And as the season went along, Taz, well-deserved honor. He's right there as the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Remarkable season once again. Statistically not as dominant in 19 as he was in 18, but really, you're splitting hairs. He wasn't that far off. I mean, the ERA was 3/4 of a run higher, give or take. But he was pretty close to just as good as he was a year ago, or 2 years ago, I should say now.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, as a Met fan, I'm happy about it. You know, and he's great. Grom's great. Love him. I mean, every Met fan loves him. He really is. And, you know, we joked around a lot about it the other day, but, you know, you brought it up. You know, we have a guy who wins a massive award offensively. Then a guy wins a massive award, in this case now defensively, and my Met team can't go to the postseason. Like, it's just disappointing. That part, I don't want to be negative Nelly, I'm just being honest. I'm being honest. Not negative Nelly, honest homie. That's probably wrong. Honest Herbie. I'm trying to do an HH thing now.
So you agreed with what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. But the other day, you guys were
because
jumping on
me. Because I
didn't
like what you said it the other day. Now you're speaking like a gentleman.
I
the other day,
the
you were being passive-aggressive and being a wise guy.
I was saying, is it disappointing at Bogus storming the room? I mean, Bisseglia agreed with me.
I did agree.
Yeah, Bilotti did not. Yeah. Bisseglia did. Then you jumped on Bisseglia for saying, how dare you? And now you come around 2 days later after Big Jake wins the Cy Young. You say the year was a disappointment.
Well, because when Alonzo, okay, wins Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
And you're in for National League, and you're making little cracks, little comments. Pete knows what I mean.
I didn't make any cracks or comments.
You made comments.
Met fans are so sensitive. Like, I did not make a comment or didn't make a crack. I shouldn't say all Met fans. The Met fans I see on a regular.
Subtle. Yeah, me, Mike, and Pete.
Yes,
and Andrew.
And Bogus.
Yeah, and Bogus, right. Yeah.
You guys are a sensitive crew here.
No, because it's...
The tone of my voice, you don't like the way I say championship when I talk about the Nationals?
No, I don't like the pause before the word championship.
It was the pause.
I don't like the pause.
Right, the pregnant pause. Before
or the eye contact. I didn't like
Max
that either.
Max Scherzer of your world champion.
Yeah, I didn't like any
Washington
it's
Nationals.
It's not right. There's no reason.
It must be the 33 years of utter futility when it comes to the World Series.
There it is. Futility. You heard that.
Futility.
Futility.
Not fruitility.
Thank you.
I know I can't spell that. Pete, there's a good chance you can.
P-H.
No, it's F-U.
There we go.
No, I'm just saying the spelling. I'm just sorry. The layup. You just put it on a tee for me. You kidding me? You put it on a tee, dude.
Justin Verlander. I would have given my vote to Garrett Cole and the Houston Astros, his teammate and soon-to-be ex-teammate, as he hits free agency this offseason. I thought he had a better year. I get why Verlander won it. 21 wins, 21-6, led the American League. He was second in the ERA to Cole, second in strikeouts to Cole. He had an unbelievable year. I'm not saying that Verlander wasn't deserving. If I had a vote, and I don't, I would have given my vote to Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
But he didn't get it. So
I agree.
Verlander,
a lot of people upset over that. Yeah. Social media was going nuts.
Verlander and DeGrom, your American League and National League Cy Young Award winners in 2019. We'll come back. Corey Chambis will join Taz and myself, college football analyst for CBS Sports, DraftNasty.com. It's a Thursday morning. You know where you're at. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
What's going on, Moose? Go ahead, sir. All right.
No, you can go.
3, 2, 1, go.
No, we're all good. We're all good.
Do your thing. You got stuff going
on. No, I'll do it next break. We're good.
Well, no, I'm not going to apologize to Andrew Bogus, who's in here now. But, you know, the Doc Rivers story was actually a good story. I said I'm glad it's on the run sheet. I'm glad that Andrew Bogus talked to Mikey B and told Mike we should cover it on the show and their meeting they had this morning.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Good job, Andrew. Well done.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate
it. Thanks for being an assistant producer here.
Again, I'm here for Taz and Moose. Moose and Taz.
Thank you very much. I feel the love.
Yeah. God bless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know Thank what? You. I mean, you got to love people while you have them, man. That's all I'm going to say. It. You got to love them while you have them.
Jeez.
Yep. Hug your loved ones.
My God. Let's pick it up here a little bit.
The bogus face was great.
Bogus. Let's hug the one you Hit the update. Let's get to the explosion. Moose!
Taz. Oh my God. The Boston Celtics lost in Philly on opening night. They haven't lost since.
Marcus Smart straight away finds Kemba. Good look. Right side three. Got it. For the first time in 27 years, the Celtics have scored 140 points.
Can I make a suggestion, Andrew?
Lee, of course you can.
Okay, this sound that you just played, that you just basically blew my eardrums out.
Yeah, I don't remember being that loud outside. I apologize.
But not just that. The way, can you utilize a little fading technique coming into it? Can you utilize that? Talk to some of the production people here.
Fading into what?
Play the audio.
Marcus Smart straight away.
Just came in hard.
It's very loud.
That's my fault.
I mean, come on, Moose. You were great at this job when you were young doing that Andrew does.
What, fading in and out audio? Top of my list.
No, I'm saying. See, now wise guy. See, I'm saying, no, you were a.
Were
an update gentleman just like
faded.
Andrew is.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, can we utilize some professionalism and decorum?
Yeah.
And don't.
That's usually on the person, though, that recorded and cut it.
But I also
it falls on Andrew.
I know how to fix it, and I didn't hear it that it needed to be fixed.
Oh,
so
you
that's
didn't
on
listen
me.
To it.
No, I listened to it. I just didn't notice that it was that harsh
gotcha.
As the beginning.
All right.
Well, you were in earmuffs while you were listening to it.
I was in the bathroom with Barry Trotz.
Taz has got ears like Dr. Dre. Go ahead.
That was very loudly Sean Grandy on Celtics Radio, by the way. 140-133, the final count over the Wizards in Beantown. That's a 9-game win streak for Boston. And as Sean Grandy mentioned, the 140, the most points they've scored since 1992. Kemba Walker at 25, 23 for Jason Tatum, 22 for Jaylen Brown. Bradley Beal, 44 in the loss. Lakers are 9-2 after throttling the Warriors 120-94. The Raptors kept the Blazers struggling 114-106. Portland's dropped 6 of 7. Just 9 points last night for Damian Lillard. And down in Houston, the Clippers tried everything but couldn't stop James Harden.
Hart around a Chandler pick. Hart pulls up, pulls back a 3. Good! Oh my goodness! James Harden in the clutch! What a shot! Timeout, Clippers, Houston up 7. The man's got 42. He's unguardable.
Craig Ackerman on Rockets Radio, 47 for Harden in the 102-93 victory. Things happened late in this game involving Doc and Austin Rivers, as I think you have already heard about today.
Yeah, we don't need to go there.
Right.
Yeah,
College hoops. College hoops last night, number 16, Ohio State, took it to 10th-ranked Villanova in Columbus, 76-51. And VCU took down number 23, LSU, in Richmond, 84-82. Now, as both of you guys know, Will Wade, who's now the head coach at LSU, was the head coach at VCU. In his VCU contract, if he was to take another job, he had to bring that school to VCU or pay VCU $250,000. They played the game, and they took the loss last night. Yes.
Wow.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You're welcome for that nugget.
Thank you.
It's the nerd alert. It's the Browns and Steelers on Thursday Night Football, 8:20 Eastern kickoff in Cleveland. Back on Monday Night Football, Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett suffered a severely bruised shin. An alarming amount of swelling kept him in the hospital overnight, but he reportedly flew back to Seattle and apparently could play after their bye this weekend. Jacob DeGrom's ERA after mid-May was 1.98. He finished with a sub-1 whip, so the Mets righty won his second consecutive Cy Young last night. Justin Verlander took home AL honors. The MVPs are named tonight. And hockey, the Capitals got by the Flyers 2-1 in a shootout. That is a 13-game point streak for Washington. Guys?
All right, let's welcome aboard right now Corey Chavis, CBS Sports college football analyst, founder of DraftNasty.com. Hey, Corey, Taz on the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
What's up, Corey?
How y'all been doing, fellas?
We've been good. Hopefully you're doing well, too. And you do great work, and we love chatting with you, Corey, and talk a little college football with you. Right now, with the way that, and he's obviously the overwhelming favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, you know, is Joe Burrow the best quarterback prospect in the country?
I don't think you can make that conclusion. I do believe that what he's done this year has put himself in an unbelievable position, and he has all the tools that all the next level of evaluators want to see. I think there's a lot of competition out there still for him for the number one spot. I know people have questioned maybe how much of a true alpha dog Justin Herbert is, right? But, you know, I've seen him play in person, and I've seen how his teammates kind of respond to him. I don't know that he's the leader and has the moxie maybe that a Burrow has, but at the end of the day, I still think that there are avenues of success for both quarterbacks at the next level in terms of being early round picks. Tagovailoa certainly is still one of the better placement passers available, and you're going to have to weigh that. And then what Jalen Hurts has done, and I'm leaving out some guys as well, but those are just some of the names that come to mind.
Right.
Right off the bat, certainly Jordan Love from Utah State hasn't had the year many expected. But when I watched the LSU film from earlier this year, I thought he still showed pretty much everything you want to see in an NFL starter.
You know, Corey, when you say Tua is one of the better placement passers, explain.
Well, I think I'll give you an example. Last week when there was a slant route potentially that you saw Jerry Jeudy drop, and it was man coverage. And basically, you got the guy on your outside shoulder, and he puts it right to the inside hip away from the defender where you actually could continue to run. And the same thing he did later on a post route. And then when he ran a corner route, which is a route that kind of is maybe in an arrow formation and out to the sideline for, you know, our listeners, in the end zone, he threw the ball towards the actual the sideline marker where really only he could catch it. And he does those things on a regular basis. For me, with him, it's just durability. I think that's the big question, as well as his size.
Great breakdown right there, Corey. So let me ask you, man, if the draft was right now, tonight, hypothetically, right? You know, as far as the quarterback position, who's the first quarterback that goes? Is it Burrow? Is it Hurts? Is it Tua? Is it Jake Fromm? Is it Eason? Is it Love? Who would you say your one and two would be right now if the draft was tonight for quarterback?
Well, definitely not Eason. I definitely think he should go back. I think he has one more year. But in terms, and I do like him too. I thought that was another good name you brought up.
Right,
but
right.
Let's look at Cincinnati, right? They will be the team picking first. And I believe that sometimes coaches have a tendency to draft guys within the mold of the last guy they just drafted. And I think probably the guy that's the closest really to Ryan Finley, but maybe some people will consider an upgrade, would probably be Burrow. I think he fits what Taylor wants to do in terms of their system. And that's saying that, you know, I believe that he should get, you know, every opportunity to come back regardless of their record to put his system in place.
Right, right.
I think Burrow would actually fit their system best. And I think what we keep hearing with all these quarterbacks in the NFL is system, right? I think Burrow fits their system best.
We're talking to Corey Chavis, college football analyst for CBS Sports DraftNasty.com. Corey, is Chase Young the best college football player in America?
I think he has been this year. I you want to see him still develop. I think a lot of people, I've seen him play in person as well, and it was actually his freshman year. And it was good to see him in that game because you had Tyquan Lewis out there, you had Nick Bosa, you had two other Holmes, and basically a number of other defensive linemen that got drafted. And he stood out. And it wasn't so much, it's one of those situations you see him right away and you say, okay, who's that? And so he's that kind of prospect. I definitely want to see him enhance this fast rush variety. And I think, you know, I'm interested to see how he tests in terms of comparing him to the Clownies and guys like that, because that's going to be an interesting case study for me, because when he came out of high school, he didn't run real well.
Mm. Corey, so you mentioned it a little while ago, right? We were sitting here chatting, and you were mentioned about Tua's durability. So concerns over his health? I mean, like going forward, once he's playing on Sundays, I mean, once as NFL teams evaluate him, I mean, you know, does the offseason give him that time? Obviously, it's going to give him that time to kind of recover and get his body back 100. But still, you know what I mean? Like, do you feel like he could get that stigma, or does he have it kind of a little bit already of, I don't want to say he's injury prone, but you kind of know where I'm going? I mean, speak on that a little bit.
You're going in the right direction, man.
Yeah, I know.
I
hate to say it because he's such a young guy. You know, I hate saying it. You know, you don't want to see that, right? You know?
No, you don't. But one thing I can guarantee most of your listeners, and you've got a lot of them, and I think the one thing about it, most of them want to know, what is durability, right? You know, why is people talk about that? Because don't worry about that. He won't get hurt. You're telling me that a kid who got hurt in college is not going to suddenly become healthy at the next level? It's the number one thing I evaluate. I mean, because I don't want to be somebody who says, okay, well, I'm looking at all these kids and I'm smarter than science.
Right, right.
And science says if you get hurt, there's a large probability, particularly if you get surgery. You know, that's one of the reasons why I never wanted to get surgery when I'm playing. I was going to do whatever it took to stay on the field without going under the knife. Once you get cut on, I mean, we
changes
got one
everything.
Person on this call who knows all about that type of stuff. Once you get surgery, you're going to probably have it again. It's inevitable that when you get injured, the probability rises tenfold.
You know, Corey, you know, covering college football for CBS Sports, everything you do with the draft, you know, and the latest college football playoff rankings, you know, came out earlier in the week. Yeah, and you're around the college game, and you do a fantastic job at what you do, and you know it backwards and forwards. What's the who's the best team in college football right now?
Well, I think a lot of people will point to the LSU victory and say that they're the best team. The best team is Clemson. And until you show me that you can beat Clemson, that's who I'm going with. I said that earlier this year to somebody, and I was saying I actually like the North Carolina win. They're like, wait a minute, you like the win over North Carolina? Yeah, I do. North Carolina beat South Carolina in the first game of the season. Guess what? South Carolina beat Georgia in Athens. I mean, so we can't just start determining what wins we like and we don't like. Sometimes it's about, you know, maybe picking out some of those common opponents. But for me, I think Clemson top to bottom, I like seeing teams have close games. I like the fact that Alabama came back a week ago. I think the fact that Oregon lost a tough game to Auburn shouldn't put that against them. You know, that game came right down to a Hail Mary at the end. So I think Utah and Tyler Huntley is incredible on third down, best third down quarterback in the nation. Nobody's talking about him, and their defense is tremendous. But if I had to say the best team top to bottom, it would be Clemson. The best team that has played so far this year has been Ohio State. And I went to the Penn State-Minnesota game a week ago. Minnesota's better than people think.
Mm. I was just going to ask you about Minnesota, man, because they moved up to that 8th spot. And, you know, I mean, they're sitting 9-0, and, man, I've never seen them play live. I'm interested to hear your breakdown a little more. I mean, you think they could win out here, obviously, and then move up even further?
Actually, I don't. I think they're going to have some hiccups down on ahead. Heck, they may have a hiccup this week. I think they play Iowa.
They play Iowa. Yeah. Iowa's tough at Kinnick, too. Yeah, that's true.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're going to have a tremendous challenge because I don't know how, as impressive as their line was a week ago, which I felt like was a surprise of the game to me, their offensive line, mammoth. They got a 400-pound, tackle. Jeez. Who has light on his feet. I mean, they've got some pretty, their offensive line shocked me last week, to be quite frank, because I came to watch the Penn State defensive line.
Right.
And their offensive line kind of bullied them at times. And really, Tanner Morgan played outstanding. The best player on the field was Rashad Bateman. But I really believe overall, when it comes down to it, that's going to be the big question for them, is the line on the defensive line. I didn't think Penn State's offensive line played its best game a week ago. That will be what's interesting to me watching them moving forward, their defensive line and really the overall lack of size there.
And Corey will be on the South Florida and Cincinnati game on Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time on CBS Sports Network. Corey, you know, curious because it's a huge matchup because they're undefeated in the Big 12, and we know the Big 12 doesn't play a lot of defense, but what about the job that Matt Rhule has done with Baylor as they get set to take on and if they beat Oklahoma and Texas next couple of weeks, I mean, they're going to go, there's going to be a precipitous jump in those CFP polls. But what about the job that Rhule's done in Baylor?
He's done a tremendous job. And once again, I love your point about the defense and the lack thereof in the Big 12, because the best defense in the Big 12 is Baylor's, you know what I'm saying? Well, after TCU, So those teams are, you know, roughly ranked in 23rd, 31st nationally in defense. But Baylor's defense is going to really present a different challenge, I believe, for Jalen Hurts. I mean, think back a couple weeks ago against Kansas State. I think they just really lost the time of possession battle in that game. I think that's one of the things that's going to be important for Baylor is being able to run the football. Offensively, they've been kind of struggling a little bit. I thought Charlie Brewer would take the next step. I really like him as a quarterback in terms of being able to control the game. He's a guy that late in the game, though, you want the ball in his hands. I believe he's a underrated player. And with they really have one of the better NFL prospects at receiver in Mims. I'd be interested to see how Oklahoma matches there. But when these two teams played a year ago, man, it was really not close. 66-33. We're going to find out a lot about how much Baylor has improved defensively under Phil Snow this Saturday.
You know, Corey, final one for you. When as you're going through all your stuff that you do and watching all as much college football as you do, if you look ahead to next April in the NFL draft, and it all depends obviously on you know what juniors come out and underclassmen and the like, but you know, is this draft class going to be, you know, as quarterback rich as many people believe it's going to be? And where do you think the strengths of this draft is going to be?
Well, I think the quarterbacks in terms of the draft are probably going to get pushed up a little bit. Maybe some of the other positions aren't quite as strong. I like the cornerback position. I think a lot of the cornerbacks in the draft. I definitely think there's some edge rushers. Last year we talked a lot about defensive linemen. I think you're going to get some good running backs in this year's class. I know that's not necessarily a sex position, you know, for people, but receivers, there's a lot of depth at receiver. I mean, heck, you could have three guys from Alabama go in the first round from a receiver. So if you start really looking at the depth of the draft, at the skill positions, And then at the quarterback position, yeah. I mean, I think that the class we talked about, you talked about Easton, I talked about Love. I mean, those guys, any other year, you know, should be considered potential first-rounders. So a lot of depth in the class, and we talked about the front-end prospect at the top, Young. That makes it a pretty good class. I'm looking forward to just seeing how it develops.
Corey Chavis, DraftNasty.com, college football analyst for CBS Sports. Check him out on the broadcast on Saturday night, Cincinnati and South Florida, 7 o'clock Eastern time on CBS Sports Network. Hey, Corey, thank you for the time this morning. We always appreciate the time and chatting with you.
Thanks so much, Corey.
No, no doubt, man. I really appreciate y'all having me on, man. Y'all have a great morning, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you as well. See you, man. He's as good as it gets. He really is.
He's the best. I love the guy.
I mean, Corey does a great job.
He does a great job.
He does. And breaking down film, I mean, he gave you, and it's difficult to do on radio, Taz, but when I asked him about being a placement thrower, how he can verbalize and explain it, and simplify it so that everyone can it's different when you're on a dry erase board,
right, or
when you're looking at film. But he basically explained it to the point where I think everyone could understand what he was talking about.
Which is
fantastic. We'll come back. We got the undercard and a holiday party update. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose with you on this Thursday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. On a Thursday morning, tomorrow morning, remember, we'll take you 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio. We got your college and NFL picks coming your way, wrapping up the week. It's been a fantastic week. Corey Chavis, if you missed any of the show this morning, hop online, download the podcast, radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere really you get your podcast. And we appreciate, we just got latest email from Tony and the guys at Entercom, and the numbers have been great.
Oh, those emails.
Numbers have been great, the download numbers, yes.
Speaking of you said the word podcast. I thought about the Taz Show.
Yes.
So if you need any wrestling content, you want to download the Taz Show, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. And, it's going to the Taz Show and my content, once 2020 hits, it's going to change a little bit. It's going to be good.
Nice.
Good. It's great now. It's going to be even better.
Tease.
Yeah, it's going to be some new stuff. It's going to be maybe even it's just going to be a lot different. I almost said a lot of stuff right here, but I stopped myself. But yeah, the download numbers for this particular podcast for Taz and the Moose has been spectacular.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, it's been very good. Now, you mentioned something about a holiday party, and I've heard this scuttlebutt about these.
We talked December about it last 9th, year. Yeah. Right?
I had no idea when the date was.
Well, you're not checking your company email, that's why.
Right. And the thing is,
it would have something to do with it?
I have zero interest. If I went to the company party, there'd be police involvement. Oh. So it's best if I don't go to... don't ask that question.
Yeah, that's the follow-up.
Yeah, so the thing is, because I would probably get drunk, lose my cool, and I'm the type of guy to put my head through a sheetrock wall at the party while I'm drunk and just start throwing stuff around.
That's the reason why.
Well, and I would probably have a... Stop me. Someone stop me.
So it's December 9th from what, 6 to 9, right? Yeah. I don't know. Are you guys going?
No, probably not. I would say 75% no. But if someone convinced me and did the whole thing, I'd think about it.
Pete's going.
I'm not going. Nothing says celebration a Monday Christmas party.
At least it's at an establishment. They used to have it here in the I don't know. I forget. I don't. It's in my email.
Is it on Long Island?
A hotel.
No, it's in the city.
I'll forget about it. They're going to pay me to go. I'll go.
It's in Lower Manhattan. No, they're not paying you.
No, I know that. No, I mean, if they're paying me, I'll go. Otherwise, they can take their shrimp cocktail and enjoy it.
Okay.
Drink their wine, enjoy that. I don't care, when you work mornings,
I think it's difficult to do a party from 6 to 9.
I got news for you. This state in my career, if I was doing afternoon drive, if I was doing 8 p.m., whatever time this party's going to start, I still wouldn't go.
Okay.
I have no interest in going to their party.
All right.
None whatsoever.
Here we go.
And I don't think you should go either. Well, are you going?
I don't know.
Hold on with the undercard. I'm not sure.
I'll be there.
You know. I know how you are. You have stuff locked in.
Well, no, I have work that night, so I probably will not be work. I will probably not be going. I have my other job. I do TV every day.
I've heard.
Yes.
Why are you so nice all of a sudden?
Why am I so nice?
Yeah, why are you so nice?
What do you mean?
I've witnessed the audience have witnessed you being a heel sometimes, and you've been very nice. about this Christmas party. I'm surprised.
About the Christmas party?
Yeah, I thought there'd be some hot takes.
I'm trying to get into the holiday season. What do you mean? Oh, I don't go. I was criticized once by Eric Spitz for not showing up to the company one, which was held in by the kitchen area. And they used to have a couple boom boxes, and they'd have like a bucket full of beer, and people would be drinking in the middle of the day, they'd have the distorted sound of Elvis Presley screeching in the background.
There's no one sets the tone better than you. I swear, it's funny.
No, point in time, like Eric called me up and said, "I was disappointed you did not attend the holiday party." Hmm. I go, Eric, it said like 3 in the afternoon on like a Wednesday. I go, when am I? I have work. Plus, I'm not in the city. I'm not
living in the city.
I'm not in the city. It's not a hop, skip, and a jump for me to get there. He goes, oh, it's good for you to show your face there. I hope everyone had a good time. And then, you know.
Isn't that something? Now, Eric has moved his career elsewhere, and you're still here.
What does that say?
Mike, you had something to say about this topic.
Oh, I had a question, and Moose answered it.
You want to share with the audience? I mean, what was the question?
What did he say? And then Moose just said it.
Oh, I said, you said it's good. It's always good for you to...
Show your face.
To show your face. And I go, that's fine. I'm sorry. I was earning money someplace else.
Wow. I'm surprised you, Pete, you're not. I picture you being a big Christmas company guy.
Well, I like Christmas parties, but the timing is hard. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we work a morning show.
Yeah, I told you, I can't be any more indignant that if I was working...
No, you made your sense. You made it perfectly clear.
If I was 9 to 5 here,
I
would not go.
I understand. Yes.
I'm not going to
eight. Yes.
I'm not going to the space. No. I don't want to go.
36.
And if they paid me, I'm still not going.
Right. The guy and gal that doesn't even speak a lick of English knows you're not going to the Christmas party. Has no idea what you're saying, but the tone of your voice knows you're not attending holiday
party.
This
guy's not going.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm not going, bro. Not a shot in hell. I'd rather... Oh, no. I can't say that. I would rather...
Yeah, you can.
I would rather take a rusty nail...
Okay,
and stick it in the back of my hamstring. Deep. And go and get a tetanus shot. And have them fill it and have pus come out of it from the rancid nail.
I'll bring in the nail.
That is Taz,
go to that
everybody.
Party. Okay?
Ho, ho, ho.
It has nothing to do with the holiday. You know what? I'm going to be... Hey, listen, let me tell you something.
Great.
I'm going... No, no! I'm going to a bunch of Christmas parties, Moose. I am. No, I'm not here. Just not here. I have a family party.
Nice.
I have my wife's family party. I have friends of mine. I have my cigar friends party.
My party.
I have my wrestling friends. We all get together, have Christmas parties.
Nice.
Hell, I might go to the AEW Christmas party. I might go up to Connecticut by you and go to the WWE Christmas party. I'm just not going to this Christmas party.
Okay.
I am not disgruntled against Christmas or parties. I just have no interest in this company's party.
Okay.
None whatsoever.
I got it.
They shouldn't even hold one.
All right.
Get on the card here.
No, we're out of time. Anyway, make sure to download the podcast every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. You've got thank you to Mike and Pete across the way. They did a great job. Remember, join us for a Football Friday tomorrow as we take you 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. We've got college picks. We've got your NFL picks for you. We'll run through the NFL Sunday and the college football Saturday. That will be two. And thanks to Corey Chavis for joining us earlier on the hour. Yeah. He did a remarkable job. Good job, Taz. Enjoy your day, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Keep it locked right here. CBS Sports Radio, Taz and the Moose, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time, right here, CBS Sports Radio.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history telling podcast, chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.